Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. You got the producer here today. Miracle Man must be on his way somehow. Don't see. You're live, Miracle Man.
All righty. Well, like I was just saying, praise God, everybody. This is Preacher Man and the Miracle Man Show. I'm here at the McDonald's South on South Saginaw Road on this very snowy Monday night.
I'm at the McDonald's in West Branch.
Yep. 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm across the road from Kmart, northwest of a Marathon gas station, and southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office. Well, as you can probably tell, I'm eating. Lee the Miracle Man is eating, working on finishing up, actually, a large fry from McDonald's, complemented by a medium Coke, also from McDonald's, and a reminder that medium Coca-Colas, large Cokes, any size Coke actually at McDonald's is only a dollar plus tax. And Preacher Man, for your
medium,
doctor.
Mine was a medium fry and a large coffee. I was a little chilly tonight.
Yep. But Dr. Pepper is $2 for the Preacher Man. Just kidding. Just kidding. That works for you, Preacher Man, that your large Dr. Pepper, any size Dr. Pepper, is a dollar. yes, it is. I had to throw that in there. So, folks, here's the plan for tonight. The plan for tonight is this. We're going to do our Bible reading, as always. We're going to keep going through Exodus, and right now we're going through some of the plagues, and then I'm also going to read on faith, as we're talking on faith. After we do our readings, I'm going to exhort. After that, I'm going to talk about a couple minutes about this Martin Luther King thing and how today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day and some things, you know, that he did and how I think it impacted America. And how, and how he really was a Christian, because what was going on at that time, all that racism that was going on, was not of God by any means. And so we'll talk about him and that dream. At that time, I feel like it's only appropriate that I pray for America, in the sense that, you know, that any and all racial tension would cease in this country right now. And so I'm going to do that. And then after we do all of that for tonight, we got a bunch of sports stuff to do. I was going to talk about Taz tonight because the auto show starts on Saturday, but I mean the public portion, the Detroit auto show starts on Saturday, but I decided I will hold off on the cars and not get into those until tomorrow night. Because tonight, because of this weekend's football and stuff and Martin Luther and everything I want to get to, I figured the cars would go for tomorrow night when it would be a little bit more of a lull, and then it would have something to bring to the table. And as I eat these wonderful fries, and so Pastor talked yesterday about prayer and fasting. And in January, I really hope those of you, I hope that those of you who are listening to this show are taking some time here in this month to fast some things. Or sometimes maybe you go a period of time that you fast something. Maybe your thing could be for 3 days, no deep fried shall touch my lips.
Oh my, be careful about that now.
Yeah, I'm just giving examples for people. You know, I'm just giving examples for people. But nonetheless, find some ways to put your flesh under, please. Please, please, please. An example of this. Football's going on. And, like, for example, last night, still chose to and wanted to go to church over football. Now, my flesh might have been saying, I just want to lay here and, you know, cheer for the the Saints and pray for the Saints to come back, thinking, yeah, that'll be the prayer for tonight. Well, that's what the flesh was thinking. But go to church, which I was going to do anyway, but that's a good example of putting the flesh under. Because for some of us, it might not be as easy as we're planning on getting up and going to church, so we're going to get up and go to church, you know, at night. Because at least I had it in mind even that I was still going to choose to go to church and receive from the wonderful Word of God. And I will add something. Regardless of how long it is, even though last night did not by any means get out too terribly late, but sometimes we should always be sacrificing. It might not always be as easy for some people as it is for me, like to, you know, just turn the game off and go to church. Some people cannot do that. And to those of you who cannot do that, again, the game is just an example. Maybe there's something else you watch. But you got to be able to fast some pleasant bread in order to get closer to God. So sometimes we gotta, you know, take some time and fast some. Wasn't good, you see. That was just a little something that was on my heart. One of the nights this week, it's not going to be tonight. I'm thinking tomorrow night. I'm going to read some verses and then exhort on this prayer and fasting thing. Because, and here's why. Because Pastor gave some very good points about it yesterday in the teaching, and it is January. Living Word has a fast, and it's not like everyone has to follow a certain fast. No, you can do your own fast. I do my own. For example, you know, the day I decided I wasn't going to eat any bread. So you got to take some time. You know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do in order to put your flesh on. And so with that, I'm going to get into prayer right now and then get into the message of tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, no, hang on. I'm actually going to give a couple announcements first before I do that. And so here we go with those. So you're thinking, you know, preacher man, I love what you just said the last couple minutes about this prayer and fasting and all this other stuff, and I want my friends and family members to be able to hear it. Well, here's what you can tell these family and friends or colleagues from work or wherever. You can tell them this. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Again, that's Blog Talk Radio, all one word, blogtalkradio.com. Whether it be on your mobile device, your smartphone, your Droid. By the way, I think Droids are from the enemy. they're not from the enemy, but I will say this. I love the iPhone. I really do. I have it, again, not biased, just a personal preference, because I already banned bias from the sports program portion of the show, but at least when it comes to me, about listeners, by the way, you can call and cheer for whatever team you want, but nonetheless, like I was saying a second ago, go to blogtalkradio.com. On your device. And remember this. Whether it is a Droid or an iPhone or a Windows phone, which got discontinued, by the way, or a Galaxy, it is always a smart thing to follow and listen to this program on your smartphone or device, tablet. And we say that all the time, and we mean it. Because, you know, you can't carry your computer everywhere necessarily and be comfortable, but you can carry your smartphone everywhere. And if you got a somewhat decent connection, you can be on listening to the show with us. And so, blogtalkradio.com, and here's what you do. The instruction is this. You'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you would type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that's Upfront Entertainment. You'll see a link. You click it, and then you'll see us, the Preacher and the Miracle Man. And by the way, this is episode number 70.
70. 70.
This is episode number 70. So that means the previous 69 episodes, they're all archived for you. One of the great things about Blog Talk Radio, they're all archived. You can go back and listen to them. You can go back and listen to, like, when I talked about the anointing the other night, and when I talked about heaven last week. So that's all archived on there for you, so that you can listen. And there's a follow button when you get on. There's a follow button. You hit that follow button. If you hit the follow button, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get notified every time we're about to do a show. For example, tomorrow night we're going to do a show. You're going to get notified. Preacher Man and Miracle Man are going live in 15 minutes. And so, you know, you get that, and then we also have a phone number you can call us at. If you want to get in and talk to us, you know, about sports or about faith or about prayer and fasting, or if you want us to pray with you, you can call us at 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. And just to help you out, we do have two rules that we would kindly ask you to help us with by following these. And the first one is this. This is not a political talk show program. Yes, I know. Going to talk about MLK, Martin Luther King, in a bit. But it won't be based on politics. It'll be based on that dream he had for America. And then I'm going to pray for America when it comes to that, at that time. But no, I'm not going to let it get political. And that to say this. This is not a political program. There's great options that I strongly endorse from people such as from talk shows such as the Glenn Beck program, the Rush Limbaugh show, the Sean Hannity show, Laura Ingraham's show, all of which you can hear on 100.5 FM here in the local Midland Bay City Saginaw area. And for other stations, please check local listings. And you can listen to these great, wonderful programs. But only to say that me and Preacher Man, this program is not one of those shows. We're more about faith, football, and sports, current events, like stuff related to current events, that would include the auto show, you know, next couple nights and maybe a little bit next week too, because I'll be still doing the auto show. I'm going to talk about cars. And so be ready for that. But that to say, this is not a political program. So if you want to talk about politics, we are going to tell you that pray for your leaders. Pray for this country. Pray. We're going to tell you to take your feelings on it to God in prayer. Rule number two is that this is a family show. We want anybody and everybody to be able to listen to the show and feel comfortable and just feel, you know, I came up with something last week, and I'm going to stick to it. If you wouldn't say it to Jesus, please do not come on and say it on this program. So use that as a guide, and it can also help with keeping the show family friendly so that everybody can come on and enjoy it and be enlightened and hear the word of God and entertain and anything else. So, with that in mind, I am now going to get into the word of prayer, and that's for real this time. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great program. I thank you, Lord God, for these great listeners that have come on to join us. I thank you that you would impart to these people, show them what they're supposed to be doing. I just pray that you'd speak to them and that you would speak to me and show me exactly what words to be speaking. And if you want Mr. Preacher Man to come on and say something, just let him feel led. Lord God, just let him feel, you know, if there's something you want him to say, then just be with him. Show me. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would have your way on this show tonight. And I pray, Lord God, for great sponsors that are going to come in and help us with the show. And I just pray that you're going to be with us. And I pray for that for a great show tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now,
amen.
If you got your Bibles with you, wherever you're at, please turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus. Woo! Glory be to God. We're going to Exodus chapter 9. Hallelujah. We're gonna find out some more about the plagues that Moses and the children of Israel had to deal with because Pharaoh would not listen to Moses and he would not let his people go. Now, if only Pharaoh would let Moses eat these McDonald's fries, I kind of doubt it. And now I have finished the fries, so let's throw it up. But Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, this is not just the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. It's not the River Shukla show. It's not the Pastor Sam Cottle show. Or the Preacher Man Sam Cottle show. We want you to participate. If by all means possible and it's safe to do so, and you got your Bible, please turn. We feel like that's how you're going to get the most out of it is by participating. So, praise God. I'm in Exodus chapter 9. Right now. So we're going to begin in verse 1 right now. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, then the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague upon you. Livestock in the field and on your horses and your donkeys and your camels and on your cattle and your sheep and your goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All of the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men, not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was still unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Oh, man, can you imagine? Can you imagine this? Even after all that crazy livestock stuff that, and all the frogs and everything else, that Pharaoh still wouldn't let the people go. Imagine if somebody did that today. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all of the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he still would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, and they may worship me. Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all of the earth. And by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, so that I may show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all of the earth. And you still sent yourself against my people, and you will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. The officials of Pharaoh, who feared the word of the Lord, hurried to bring them slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on men, on animals, and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt. And when Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashing down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. And it was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the field, both men and animals. And it beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we had had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. By the flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and the spears, however, were not destroyed because they ripened later. Then Moses left Pharaoh and sent out of the city. He spread out his hand toward the Lord. Thunder and the hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned again. He didn't tell the truth. Figure that out, preacher man. Figure that out, listener. Pharaoh did not tell the truth.
Yep.
He lied. Even after all that
yep.
rain and hails and thunders.
Frogs and blood.
And all that crazy stuff. And even after that crazy thunderstorm and all that hail and all that thunder and all that lightning. Let me tell you guys something. I love a nice, big, huge gully washer thunderstorm with splashes of lightning and that banging thunder and heavy rain. As long as we don't have any kind of tornadoes or anything and the power doesn't go out. He sinned again, and his officials hardened their hearts. Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go just as the Lord had said through Moses. It's not that. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. Could have possibly done a whole earth flood again, and he still wouldn't let him go. Now, turn with me, please, to Hebrews 11. Again, that is Hebrews 11. We're going to continue on in the readings on faith. Now, faith is substance of what is hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, man, I lost my page. Let's see, maybe it's here somewhere. Hebrews 11. My page fell out somehow. Nonetheless.
How far did you get?
The first page fell out, and I don't even know where it is. I think it's at home or something. Now, start with 1 to 12.
All right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. Verse 12, too.
Yep.
Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, we were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
Now think about that. That many people. That's a lot of people. It'd be so hard to figure out all over the world how much sand is on the seashore.
Yes, it
would.
Can you just imagine?
Because I've been at Ludington, and I've done, in places, and I've dug some holes on the beach. You know, it'd be so hard to find the water that's underneath. And you can only dig so far, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a lot of sand. It'd be so exhausting to count all of those little sand particles. But all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised. They only saw them and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens, strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own.
Yeah. Amen.
If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Aren't you glad that God's not ashamed to be called your God?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, that's not just to you, preacher man. That question is to everyone who are happening to the show. You know, all of you who believe in God should be so glad that God is not ashamed to be called your God. It doesn't matter whether you're living, percolating hot for him, whether you're lukewarm, or you're just so cold. I'm trying to make a right choice, maybe, so you listen to this program. But nonetheless, God is not ashamed to be called their God. And I'm in the middle of 16 right now. He is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their futures. I'm just turning the page according to their futures. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient to God. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, because I got stuff. No, preacher man doesn't say anything about there in there about I got stuff.
Hey, God's gotcha. So that's the cool part.
Yep. So it's not saying I don't have the time because I got stuff.
That's right.
No, I don't have the time to talk about I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. Now, the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12, this is talking about kind of faith and agreement. And therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's the people you talk to, the people you hang around with, other people that you see that you don't even see say hi to and they're just near you. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Another, some versions say the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now you think about that cross thing. In 2.5 months, pretty much exactly, we're going to be in that time of Easter.
Yep.
That beautiful season of Easter, and where we celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen. Which, when that time comes, we are going to be going through all of the different biblical accounts based on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because in some ways they're different. But we're going to be talking when that time comes about, you know, what he did and all that. So you can watch for that. But now, as for tonight, so about this whole Pharaoh thing, you know, so it hailed. I imagine these hailstones are probably even bigger than golf ball or baseball size hail, because you may have seen some of those storms from these storm work things, or whatever they call them now, that they do on the Weather Channel. You have to imagine that this hailstorm in Egypt was bigger than that. Preacher man, you probably would also have to imagine that there just might have been a tornado.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you bet that was a severe thunderstorm with lots of tornadoes and all kinds of convection and stuff?
Well, that's the whole deal.
So you bet that was possibly worse than any severe earthquake we've had in this country?
Sure, I would say so, yeah.
Because we've had outbreaks, and we will again. That will be very severe. We did several years ago. Joplin, Missouri, Alabama, other places, Ringgold, Georgia, all in one year. But to say that there was it was a hailstorm, or as we would say in this country, you know, it was a serious, severe thunderstorm outbreak like America has never seen before. And Pharaoh still had his heart very hardened, and he still would not let Israel go. After first saying, "I promise I'll let him go," and it stopped, and it clears up, and he said, basically he said, "Nope, I'm not going to let him go now." Most of us in America, if God had to send that kind of destruction, most of us at least, it would change our heart back to God, if that's what it took. Most of us, if we're in our right mind, if God had to send all kinds of EF5 tornadoes and that kind of hail, you just go, wow, to think that it took that. And that's after all that other stuff. After all those frogs and flies and all that kind of stuff. If we had to experience that, we'd be so uncomfortable. And I tell you, if I was in the wrong, I would have been repenting after the frogs. Or possibly before those even had a chance.
Yes, yes, yes.
But not for... but not Pharaoh. No, not Pharaoh. He was a stickler. Not only that, he lied. He said, yeah, I'll let him go. He didn't. But that to say, what is Pharaoh in your life? Pharaoh might not always be, for a lot of people, Pharaoh is their boss, but for a lot of people, it's something else. For some of us, you know, Pharaoh could be a certain situation, could be a sickness. Don't you think Pharaoh could be a sickness if it keeps holding your back?
I suppose you could say that.
Yeah, because Pharaoh was like a ruler, and it'd be like he'd be holding you back. And you got to find out what that Pharaoh is. If it's what's holding you back from doing what's God telling you to be doing or going about life, if it's something that's in the way and always holding you back, you got to be talking to God about that thing and say, I curse you. That foul thing that's always in the middle and making it so that I can't, you know, go about life, making it so that I can't do what you, Father God, have told me to do. You got to curse that thing. It may seem it's going to leave. And then all of a sudden, it's like the heart hardens, and it's like, you know? And it's like, as you're going through life, it may not be to the same degree, but, you know, we're all going to go through some things. And some of us are just so strong, or others of us may have something holding us back in the form of a Pharaoh. Some of us for life, it could be a boss. Others of us, it could be a sickness. A sickness that could be something that could be, or maybe something else, that could be holding you back from doing things that God's told you to do. Do you think it's possible that for some of us that Pharaoh could be an idol?
Well, Pharaoh wasn't an idol, though. Pharaoh was a cruel taskmaster, so he wasn't
What I mean is something that's holding us back. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think about the children of Israel. They allowed themselves to be lulled to sleep and get comfortable there, and then they allowed themselves to get put into slavery, and it's the challenge that every one of us face. So everybody's got to keep themselves on fire for God so that you don't get into that place where you allow someone to exercise authority over you that don't have that doesn't have the right for that authority.
Amen. So you've got to stay on fire for God. You have to stay on fire for God so that you don't get cooled down to that place to where people are having authority over you and circumstances are having authority over you. And I got this thing tonight, so I can't go to church. And all the other stuff. But you really do have to. You know, you got to stay on fire for God, and so that things won't. You won't get to that place where these certain people have authority over you. You know, you won't be being held back because the Israelites could have went, but they were being held back. So the question that I would have to ask of all of you is, excuse me, what is it that's holding you back? What's holding you back tonight from what you could be doing for God? What's holding you back? Is it maybe that you don't want to do it? Or is
that's
something
that
in
we
the
all
way?
Face right there.
Yep. Yep. And for some of us, it's much more than just I don't want to do it. You know? And we may I'll have a couple of days here and there, but if it's constantly holding you back, you're constantly being held back by whether it be a circumstance, it's something to look at and be, and you got to get to the place where you can say, Jesus, I come to you and I say, I want you to help me with this, Jesus. Whatever is holding me back, and if you know what's holding you back? You just say, Lord God, help me. I want to be able to go full-fledged. We can go full-fledged for you. I'm not going to be held back anymore. I'm going to go for you. I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to charge what you want me to be. And so, basically, the exhortation of tonight is you got to examine yourself. What could be holding you back? You know, you got to decide for yourself if you're being held back. What is it? Is it a certain hobby? Is it a sickness? You know, what is it? Could be a variety of things. But we just got to be able to say to the circumstance and say, Lord, I'm all for you. I want to do everything that I can for you, God. That's where we need to be for God. And so, Lord, I just pray right now over these listeners. And I just thank you, Lord God, that these listeners would be able to listen to me read and challenge them. I thank you, Lord God, that you'd speak to all of us and you'd help us all and show us, Lord God, what is holding us back. Because we could all be doing more. Most of us could totally be doing more for you than what we're doing. Or maybe most of us, maybe some of us are only doing part of what we were called to do and not all of it. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would just show us, help us, every one of us, Lord God, and just show us what's holding us back, Lord, so that we can do what needs to be done, so that we can be at that level where we should be with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this Martin Luther King thing. Today, January 15th, 2018, third Monday of the month, is Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The day that America celebrates the birth of Martin Luther King Jr. This is the 32nd year that America has recognized Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We celebrate it because in honor of the many great things that he did for America. What he did was great. He made some great speeches, including one where he said, "Let freedom reign, all of America. Let freedom reign over the mountains of Tennessee. Let freedom reign in the hills of Mississippi." Now you think about it, that. Let freedom reign. Let freedom reign all over America. He also said that I have a dream that one day this nation would rise up, and that black people and white people could be, you know, equal. That they could go up and hug each other, not hate each other, not go after each other, not, you know. And we've come a long ways. But we still have a ways to go when it comes to certain things, but you think about this Martin Luther King guy. He was a Christian. I don't know if some of you guys realize this or not, but Mr. Martin Luther King was a Christian. And he had that dream. Preacher man, do you think God gave him that dream?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. He was a man of God.
Yep. Contrary to a lot of people what a lot of people might think, you know, it was God who gave him that dream. It wasn't just a man who thought, I'm going to be an activist. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to build my platform. And I'm going to use do. Unfortunately, though, African Americans have let that happen. Too many of them. And they've been told, you know, for whatever reason, that he wasn't, you know, God knew he was just an activist. And he was. He did a lot of great things. You know, Rosa Parks with the whole bus thing. You know, I wish more people would learn about the spiritual idea of Martin Luther King and not the idea that he was just this crazy activist guy. Because all that stuff that was going on before that was not of God. It wasn't. And then that he was assassinated there in Memphis, Tennessee. That wasn't a God. That was somebody who hated him. He left a legacy on this country that I pray that no one, that people would not forget. I pray that people would remember. And thank God that Martin Luther King had that dream. Because otherwise, I think we could still be exactly where we were back in like the 50s and early 60s.
Yeah. Well,
think about
the fact, Miracle Man, that they were not violent. Now, there was all kinds of violence going on in that day. There was all kinds of violence going on in that day.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
The only one that's going to tell him no violence is God Almighty. And he was very specific about it. No violence. We're not going to be violent. And he used that scripture. He used the love chapter, and then he used the scripture from the prophet. I got to think of what that one was. But it was like Micah or something, and it talked about may justice pour down like rain. And they weren't trying to bring the justice by their own hand. They were asking God Almighty to bring the justice to the nation. And he did. God did. Look what God did from that man's life.
Run. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray right now for the state of this country when it comes to race, people relations, as we all know, as most of us know, you know, there's only one true race. It's the human race. unless you have a tail and can bark, you know, the real dog bark, not a and unless you can meow, like a cat, not the human-made meow, unless you have hooks, there's only one race. One. Not two, not three, not four. The color of our skin may be different in some other things, but that's where it ends. And, Lord God, I thank you for this great country, and I just claim that your hand is upon it. I pray that this tension between whites and blacks and all that, Lord God, this tension and that stuff that's been related to these police killings of people, of police, these, a couple of white police officers who have killed African Americans, even if they didn't have a gun. Some of them did, but when they didn't and they just killed them. I pray, Lord God, that you would repair relations between people of different colors. I pray that you would just repair this, Lord God, and I claim that all discrimination would cease. Right now, I command that all discrimination against those who are black, those who are Hispanic, those who may be from another color or whatever, I pray that all this discrimination stuff, though it wasn't what it was, it's not what it was in the 60s, I claim that everyone in this country, regardless of color, would have very equal opportunity to get ahead, to live life to the fullest, and that all stereotypes and that all of this kind of stuff and that all these barriers would be broken and that it could be truly made equal the way that Dr. King saw it. And I just pray, Lord God, that your hand would be upon this great nation and that this could be part of repairing America so that it can be fully the way you intended it to be.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. And no.
Amen.
People, I did not intend to offend any of you. I'm just telling it like it is. And I'm praying to God, Lord, that we can get this stuff fixed. You know, like King said, I would have this stuff fixed. And so now, it is now time to get into sports. But before I do, a reminder that this show is sponsored by Coca-Cola at McDonald's. McDonald's.
And coffee.
Where,
I'm drinking coffee tonight.
Yep. Where you can, sponsored by McDonald's, where you can get a dollar any size soft drink. You can get a small McCafe beverage for just $2. Go take a look, people, at that $1, $2, and $3 menu at McDonald's. There's some good things on it. Check it out. You know, you got a kid. If you got a child and you're going through McDonald's to get yourself something, why not at some point get your kid one of those Happy Meals? Because now they're all only $3 a piece, to whether you get the hamburger, the cheeseburger, or the four nuggets. You get to choose, and then you could get some apples, some fries, and then drink of their choice. Of course, you, the parent, gets to decide whether they get a juice to drink, the apple juice thing, milk, or those are only $3 every day at participating McDonald's, plus tax. See store for details. And also on it, for example, is a McChicken, a hash, a sausage burrito. In most locations, a hash brown's a dollar, but not everywhere. But that's common. For example, at this location it is. And prices and items may vary, because at some restaurants, might have a few more items that are only priced, for example, at a dollar. Like, at this location, you can get a yogurt for a dollar, which is standard at most locations, but not at all of them. So just keep that in mind. The items may vary by location. So, with that in mind, out to sports we go. And to NFL, which is yes, we begin with Saturday, where the Falcons of Atlanta took on the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia on Saturday night. Saturday afternoon, actually, at 4:30, but into Saturday night. And which birds won? The Eagle Birds. They win by a score of 15-10, but they had to stop Atlanta first, because Atlanta got it to first and goal at the 5. Then they got it to second and goal at the 2. Then they had a certain penalty, a false start, I believe it was. And then after that, he got hit, so he lost a couple yards there, so it made it 4th and goal at the 9. and Ryan drew for a pass. They could not keep, was not, did not get caught. So Eagles turned it over. The Falcons turned it over on downs with about a minute and a half to go. So Atlanta season ends, and Philadelphia, they live to see another day as they win 15-10. Saturday night, Patriots-Titans in New England. At first, looked like it was going to be close. It was scoreless for a time, but then Tennessee goes in, scores a touchdown, 7-0. Then Patriots score a touchdown. Then they score again. Then they score again. Ends up being 35-14 Patriots over the Titans. Now, I figured the Patriots were going to win, but I didn't think it would be by this much. And that was Saturday. Sunday, yesterday, in game one, Jacksonville versus Pittsburgh in Pitt. It got all the, first it was 7-0 Jacksonville, then 14-0. It got all the way to 21-0 Jacksonville before Pittsburgh finally started getting some points on the board. It ended up being 45-42 Jaguars over the Steelers. But Roethlisberger and the Steelers, Roethlisberger threw for two, not one, but two passes on fourth down that ended up being touchdowns. Two of them. Now, how are you going to throw two of those and still lose the ball game? I don't know, but they did. Hats off to the Steelers for doing what they did. Great try, but just as I expected, the Jaguars won. Actually, what happened was I predicted that the Jaguars would, in fact, win, because I saw something coming for them. Then we have the crazy thing from last night. Saints at Vikings. Well, I turned the game on last night. I can't turn the game on last night at, as I'm getting ready for church, I turned on the game. By the way, folks, you can now stream these games now live. You can download the Yahoo Sports app on your smartphone. Then remember to enable location services. And here's what you do. You'll open it. You'll enable the location services. Then you'll open up where it says menu. Then you go to NFL. And then it'll have a link for the games that are live. And then you can turn it on. Remember to turn volume on so you can hear it. And I was able to watch these that way, which is really cool. And next year, you'll be able to watch your in-market teams as well as Thursday night game, Sunday night game, Monday night game, playoffs, Super Bowl, preseason also, I believe. But it's a pretty cool deal that they just started. And it's through Verizon, but you don't have to be a Verizon in order to get this free stream. But it's really a cool thing. It's the first time like anything like this has been done on such a wide venue. But for all you sports fans, you now have that option. But that to say this. Now, last night, turn on that game. By that point, it's 7-0. I'm listening to it on my phone on the way to church. By the time I get there, it's 17-0 Vikings. So I go into church. You know, we have church, do the word, worship, word, all that. By the time it's done, by the time we're done, it's 20-14 Vikings. Then, but you know, Saints start making it. You know, Saints go for a field goal, get it, get closer. Then they get a touchdown. Then, you know, before you know it, Saints have a 1-point lead. Minnesota goes for a field goal, get it. You know, but by this point, there's only like a minute and change left. They get a field goal, so they're back up by one. So, but at that point, it's, you know, 23-22. I mean, it's like Saints up by one. So at that point, it's 24-23 Saints. Then they even get it to where it's 3rd and 9 with 10 seconds to go. Saints defense doing good, but Mr. Keenan, the quarterback of the Vikings, he threw a 61-yard touchdown pass to a wide receiver straight in the end zone. Flash balls popped, fireworks going off, 29-24, Vikings over the Saints. I predicted, however, that the Saints would win that game. I also predicted that it would end up being a nail biter. And it was. But, and they almost did it, too. But, nobody knew that Keenan was going to throw for that 61-yard pass and have it be caught in the end zone. Because that's the only way they were going to win the ball game.
He didn't even know. He didn't even know. He looked as surprised as everybody else.
Yeah. That's the only way they were going to win that ball game. There was 10 seconds left. And then he rushes right into the tunnel after that. He rushed right into the tunnel. And that place went nuts. And Paul Allen, I'm not necessarily the biggest Vikings fan, but I love Paul Allen's radio call. He's like, when Minnesota gets a touchdown, he's like, touchdown! But he does it a little bit louder. But you know, he was screaming last night. What you do is you go to YouTube, Preacher Man, and look up Paul Allen Vikings. And then you can hear for yourself what happened. You may have heard of Paul Allen before, haven't you?
I don't think so. But I'm not as much on that as you are, so.
But as someone who loves sports and sports radio, I, even though I'm not necessarily the biggest Vikings fan or the biggest Seahawks fan, Seahawks have a great guy too, in Steve Rabel, their play caller. I love him and his work, as well as Mr. the Vikings guy, the Paul Allen, Mr. Allen.
And all right, I found it. I'll listen to it when we're done here.
These are two guys that, even though they're from Minneapolis and Seattle, two guys that I would love to meet because I love their play calling a lot, and they offer a lot for those people who listen to games on the radio. And to be honest with you, we have a great guy here in Detroit in the Lions guy. You know, and then Tennessee has a great guy too. One of the best. Touchdown Titans. And that's how he does his, you know. You knew they had won it when you heard the, when you heard that firework going off. And
yeah.
then there was a
yep.
bunch more fireworks after it. And they and that's when I knew. Uh-oh. Now, how did I do on picking these? I got 3 out of 4. I almost had a perfect weekend. And it would have been perfect had if that 61-yard touchdown was not successful. But you look at that and
that's
go,
what makes the playoffs the playoffs, isn't it?
So, the NFC and AFC fields are set. So, for Sunday, AFC side at about 3:40, you have the Patriots versus the Jaguars in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Boston area, but I still like to say the exact town. But, yes, in Foxborough. And then at about 6:40 on Sunday evening, you have NFC Championship game in Philadelphia, where you have the Eagles versus the Vikings. The winners of each of those games will go to Minnesota on February 4th for the Super Bowl. If it involves the Vikings, it would be the first time that any home team got to be in their stadium for the Super Bowl. Two teams in the past have been close. Both of these were in California, though. One was in the 70s, the other was in 84. But in both of those cases, that so-called home team lost. But I'm sure there's going to be some home field advantage allowed, but not a boatload. And the Super Bowl really is a rather corporate crowd. Some of them might not have a vested interest in football, while others will. So I'm going to be interested to see what happens if it happens to be the Vikings that make it. I'm sure there's going to be some things that they will and won't be allowed to do, like that horn. I don't know if they'll be. I doubt that horn's going to be allowed. Don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty loud.
You bet that
that's
horn's
disruptive
gonna, you bet
too.
That, you bet that horn's going to be shut off?
I don't know. I don't know how that all works.
That would be a sign of home advantage. What's generally in the Super Bowl, you're not supposed to really have home advantage. So I doubt.
But
once
the Super Bowl is slated for your town, there's nothing you can do if you win except go there and play, right?
Yep. But there'll just be certain things like the horn probably can't go, and they probably can't shoot off fireworks just because the Vikings scored. You know? And you're still going to have a lot of opponent fans there. So it's not going to be quite like a regular Vikings game. You know?
Yeah.
It will be loud. Don't get me around. Don't get me wrong. It might sound like it at times, you know? And I believe I'll have to try it on Sunday to see whether or not I can get it on iHeartRadio. Because, like I said, I love Mr. Allen, Paul Allen, but I might be able to listen to his call of it. Because, like I said, I like Paul. I love Paul. And that way he does it. You know? And he's a guy I'd love to be able to meet. Nonetheless, I got some other stuff to get to. Also, in NFL news, Lions head coaching search. The Lions have most like the keyword is this Matt Patricia will most likely, very much most likely, become the Lions' next head coach. Now, they can't make it official until the Patriots are finished, which could be almost 3 weeks. So, but they have let all other applicants know you're off the list. So, which basically means that Matt Patricia will be the next head coach. And he is the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. And they have been able to win some Super Bowls, the Patriots have, with him as defensive coordinator. So that's something that we can, I feel like it's something we can feel good about. If our front office can start getting some good running football players who can run the ball well and some good defensive guys, you know, to complement Stafford. Stafford's great. He still has some good years left in him. Let's take advantage of it. That's the way I'm looking at it. So I'm thinking, let's win now. Let's win the NFC North. Let's show the Vikings who really is boss. Oh, and the Packers. Because the Packers could have, but they had to play for several weeks without Aaron Rodgers. So they got to show the Vikings. They got to show the Packers, you know. And how big would that be? Lions first place. And I'd like it to be that they can get a bye. I'd love that. But, you know, so in a way, I'm feeling good about the hire. Very good. So Matt Patricia looks to be next head coach. In basketball news, yesterday the Spartans hosted Michigan Wolverines, but the Sparty lost by 4 points, 90-86. The second loss in three games for Sparty. Michigan plays tonight at 7 p.m., available on 790 a.m. or on TuneIn Radio. For example, you can go to TuneIn Radio and then choose what station you want to listen to them on, like on 790. And Michigan plays tonight on the road with Maryland. Pistons. They lost to the Bulls a couple days ago, 104-100. Andre Drummond with another double-double. And as for you listeners, I promised that I'd be going to the game soon. It will, in fact, be on February 5th, Monday, February 5th. If you got a Twitter, go follow me on Twitter, please, if you got a Twitter, as I will be posting some tweets live, such as some scores, like what the score is at halftime or after the end of the quarter, or something like Drummond's really whooping them tonight. It's going to be Pistons versus Portland Trailblazers on Monday night, live from Little Caesars Arena. And I will be there at the game. I'm actually on the 11th row in section portal 118. So in the corner right behind the home bench. So when Pistons players get put on the bench, we'll be 11 rows behind them, which is cool, I think. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Me and my brother are going. But that's what you have with Pistons. Red Wings this weekend, a really bad loss, and then a good win. Saturday they suffered a loss to Columbus 4-1. Yesterday, a very good 4-1 win, no, 4-0 win over the Blackhawks, one of the best teams in the NHL as of recent years. So the Red Wings kind of looked like two different teams this weekend. One more like how they have been like lately, not as good. And then the other like the team of old, in the case of yesterday. And I miss old Red Wings hockey. I miss the days of Red Wings winning and getting to go deep into the playoffs. I miss it. And I'm ready to get back to that. 2017 was not a great year for sports in Detroit. I want that to change, and I want it to change now. So Pistons can... I at least want the Pistons to get to where they can have home field advantage for a round and feel good about that. So one goal at a time. First goal would be get in the playoffs. Get in. Then if you can get on a winning streak to help yourself, you know, maybe go from the 8th or 7th seed up to like a 4th seed, do that. After that, regardless of whether it takes 4 games or 7, knock out your first round opponent. After that, you know, that's how you get a good winning team. And so that's what it is. And so forever, and that is that for sports tonight. A reminder that the North American International Auto Show starts on Saturday and runs to the 27th. This is the public show. It is $14 for adults to get in, $9, I believe, for seniors 62 and older. It is $7 for kids ages 7 to 12, and for kids 6 and under, free for kids ages 6 and under to get into North American International Auto Show at Cobo Hall in downtown Detroit. Generally, I suggest that you park somewhere a little ways away, get on the people mover, and take the people mover that goes right into Cobo Hall. You'll take the people mover, and you'll get off on a higher floor of the Cobo Center and then get to the elevator or stairs and go down to the main floor of Cobo where the auto show will be. And or you could do this. You could park down near, for example, Little Caesars Arena or Ford Field. Walk across the road to the Grand Circus Park, and from there you could get on the people mover, and you can take the people mover to Cobo Hall, or you could park at the Renaissance Center or the Joe, which I don't know if that's even a station anymore, or but there's a few stations that I don't even know what's there. But take the people mover, 75 cents a person.
It's a cool ride.
Yes, it is. You overtop the city. And that's just what I just did was just a segment, a little snippet of the car coverage that's going to be the next couple of days and then into next week, as that's one of the things I've been believing for, is to be able to, I'm going to be able to see and drive. And I hope I'm going to look at this tonight and tomorrow, that maybe they'll have an autonomous car display at the auto show. They do, I'm absolutely looking at it, because even if it's an autonomous car, I would love it. I'd love to be able to tell it what to do, you know, where to take me. I'd even like to be able to tell it how fast to drive. No, not so I can break the law, but so that I can have control over it.
Yes.
I'd like to be able to tell it, go 75, you know, like when it's fair. Or on the highway, if the roads are really bad, I'd like to be able to tell it, go 50. You know? And then I'd like it to be able to detect, you know, road conditions so that it's not swerving and sliding real bad all over the place, you know. But that's a snippet of what's to come in the next couple of days. And so until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always, and stay safe on those roads, everybody, okay? Because it is nasty outside. And remember, God first, God always. See you tomorrow night, everybody. So long, everybody.
See you tomorrow night. Bless you, brother.
Amen. Bless you. Did you hit the off button, Preacher Man?
I did. Just didn't do it yet.
I'm just waiting for it to say it.